Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Brenda Brewer speaking. Welcome to the Not-for-Profit Operational Concerns Constituency, also known as NPOC. This is webinar series, webinar number 3 on the 17th of February, 2021. Today's webinar is recorded. Kindly keep your phones and microphones on mute until questions are taken. And I'm pleased to introduce Yanis Tupariu, NPOC Vice Chair. You may begin. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda, and welcome everyone to the third webinar in the series of webinars that we have prepared both for our membership as well as for other people that would like to get more information about the domain name system. As Adam has already mentioned, this is the third webinar. We've already had two webinars, the recordings of which you can access in the link that he sent on the chat. I will also send it probably a bit later in the conversation, given that I'm certain that more people will be joining in the minutes to follow. I'm glad to see some names that have attended the prior webinars as well. As you know, this is a series of webinars. There will be 7 of them, and at the end of which, for those that will be attending all of them, there will be a certificate of completion. So I'm very happy to see that there's a recurrence in participants. Today we are going to have Brian Gutterman that's going to present about how to register a domain name, more about the registrant's rights and responsibilities and other technical and legal information. I don't want to spoil it, so I'm going to let him tell you more about what he's going to cover today. But I'm encouraging you on behalf of NPOC to ask questions, to request more information, and to engage with the others, both in the chat as well as using the microphone. We are very happy to be able to organize this, and we hope you will find this useful, just as the previous webinars. If there's no other information that Adam would like to add, I give the floor to Brian for the content of this webinar. And once again, enjoy and thank you for being here.
Thanks, Joanna. Over to you, Brian. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Joanna. And thank you everybody for joining. Good morning from Los Angeles for me, and good afternoon and evening from wherever you are tuning in from today for our third session of this webinar series. We, once again, will emphasize we are grateful and very happy to be here with you, and happy to be building this library of content for NPOC and others. I am Brian Gutterman. I am in the Global Domains and Strategy team at ICANN.org. And what I'll be covering over the next couple of sessions, we hope will build on what has been covered thus far by Adam and Emily and Patrick over the first couple of sessions, when they spoke about the domain name system, about domain names, about ICANN and how you can all participate at ICANN. What I will be doing is sort of taking a next step. So my tone and tense might sound a bit different than the other speakers thus far, because what I will try and do is shift to speaking to you all in this group as if you were a domain name holder, if you were a registrant, or actually today I'll speak to you as if you were someone who is considering registering a domain name. Because after all, you know, we remind ourselves that part of NPOC's mission is to represent the interests of nonprofit registrants and their operational concerns. So next slide, please, Brenda. what I'm going to do at the top here is two things, and this is something we want to emphasize throughout the series. We want to remind everybody about the wealth of knowledge and resources that are already available to you all, and we encourage you all to access this free online learning and resources. So the first one we've mentioned before, but I'm going to point you here again, is the ICANN Learn online learning platform, which for those of you who have been around ICANN for a while, you may have already taken these courses, and that's great. But for some of you newcomers, we really encourage you to go on there. So it's learn.icann.org. You can set your dashboard there to your preferred language, which is something that's really cool. You can take the course, you know, in a language that's more familiar to you, if that's not English, of course. A lot of the content that I'll be covering over the next two sessions, you can find on the ICANN Learn course that the Registrant program put together, which is called Registrant Basics, Essentials for Domain Name Holders, which we launched in March of last year. What the course does is teach domain name holders who are registrants and, you know, other end users who are interested about rights and responsibilities of registrants, their important role in the domain name ecosystem, some best practices in domain name management, and some of the ICANN consensus policies that have direct impacts on domain name holders, registrants, you know, policies that registrants should be paying attention to. Next slide, please, Brenda. So here we have broader agenda for the whole webinar series. What I'll be probably touching upon today are the first three bullets here: rights and responsibilities, registration of domain names, and maintaining, managing, renewing, and such domain names. And then later on, we'll get into the other topics you see here. I'm also going to do something a little bit different now, which is experiment and share my screen, because I want to point you all again to where you can find most of the written static content that the Registrant program has put together over the last few years for domain name holders specifically. And what I mean is that we've written this content to speak to registrants in a way that they can hopefully understand a lot of technical, complex, sometimes policy language and jargon. We've tried to write it in a way that is easier to understand. So I'm going to share my screen and point to you. I hope you can all see this screen, which is ICANN.org. And if you just scroll through here and go to resources, you scroll over resources, you can find domain name registrants. Click into domain name registrants. And this is our library of content, our homepage, ICANN.org/registrants. Something that's really important here. The majority of the content that you see here in English is available in the six UN languages. So if you scroll through the top here, you can click on the language that you prefer and find lots of the content in your own language, which is obviously important. And then something else I want to show you here, if you go to the left side, the menu bar, you can go to registrants, and then there's all these subtopics here underneath, so you can learn more about domain names written for registrants, ICANN policies, how to participate in ICANN policy making, learn about the domain name industry, registration of domain names, managing domain names, security best practices, transfers, renewals, rights and responsibilities, et cetera. You can also access the FAQs. There's, I think, more than 75 different FAQs written for registrants, just about every question you can think of. We have tried to cover here, broken down by topic. So please check those out. You can access previous presentations that the registrant program has put on at ICANN meetings, in person and remotely. So again, please take a minute to check this out when you get a chance. We know how busy everybody is, but we really want to emphasize that there is a lot of information available online already, above and beyond what we are presenting here during the webinar series. Okay, so now I will move on to the core of the presentation. If you don't mind, oh, Brenda, thank you for bearing with me there. Next slide, please. So let's set a baseline. Who is a registrant? What am I talking about? Who is a domain name holder? They are individuals or entities who register a domain name. Upon registration of a domain name, a registrant, of course, enters into a contract with a registrar. And you'll recall from previous presentations, webinars, we talked about registrars, which is where a registrant would go to register a domain name. The contract describes the terms under which the registrar agrees to register and maintain the requested name. After registration, registrants manage their domain name settings through their registrar. To change a setting, a registrant submits the changes to the registrar, and the registrar sends the change to the registry. All right, there's a lot of jargon here, but slowly I think we can all pick this up. As a domain name registrant, you have certain rights and responsibilities. Not everybody knows that. Your rights include access to information from your registrar regarding processes for registering, managing, transferring, renewing, and restoring your domain name registration. And I am going to pause here, please. Next slide, Brenda. Thank you to my colleagues and others who are probably more experienced in ICANN for answering questions in the chat. Before I go into the next topic here of registration of domain names, do we have any questions? And I will just pause quickly. Oh, I want to say thank you to my colleague Herb for joining, albeit briefly, and he wrote his email in the chat there for anybody that needs to contact him.
It's Adam, Brian. No questions as yet, but as Joanna mentioned in the chat to Bill, the web page will be updated with more information. This is a sort of running page to keep the information flowing as we complete the webinars. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Brian.
Good. Thank you. All right. Next slide, please, Brenda. So here are a few tips or guidelines that we offer as an organization to those who are considering registering a domain name. First one, know who you are dealing with. So ICANN has accredited a number of companies for provision of domain name registration services. So our recommendation is that you deal directly with an ICANN accredited registrar. The full list of registrars is available online to go to. If you choose to register a domain name with a company that is not an accredited registrar, that is okay. Just we recommend to make sure to read the registration agreement carefully to identify any other parties you may also be contracting with there. So do some research, know who you're dealing with. Research the registrar's customer service. If customer service is something that's important to you, understand what they have. Do they offer these types of services? What types of services do you require? What type of support do they offer for their services? Do they have readily accessible contact information? So if you need to reach them for something urgently, can you do that? And how do you do that? Are they going to pick up the call if you need to contact them in person? When you do an online search, is there a list of complaints against them? Probably a bad sign. Checking this information ahead of time can alleviate problems later. Next slide, please. Read and understand the terms and conditions. And this is something I think we are all guilty of when we sign up for things. Sometimes we don't take the time to scroll through the fine print to understand what we are doing. So when you register a domain name online, you will be asked to accept the terms and conditions of a registration agreement. By completing the domain name registration, you are agreeing to these terms. The agreement contains important information about the rights you have in the domain name, the use of your personal data, the fees a registrar may charge you, and under what conditions you may switch services to new providers. While it may be tempting to speed through this step and click, I agree, taking the time to read this first can save you from unpleasant surprises later. Next slide, please. So how do I do it? What's the process? Like I said before, domain names can be registered through many different companies known as registrars that compete with one another for your services, for your business. A listing of these companies appears in the registrar directory. Not on this site, I apologize, but go to the site that I showed you. You can find the registrar directory there. The registrar you choose will ask you to provide various contact and technical information that makes up the registration. The registrar will then keep records of this contact information and submit the technical information to a central directory known as the registry. The registry provides other computers on the internet the information necessary to you to send you email or to find your website. You will also be required to enter a registration contract with the registrar, which sets forth the terms under which your registration is accepted and will be maintained. Again, I apologize as this seems obvious to those of you who are already registrants yourselves, but I think it's important to paint a broad picture of this process to understand where the registrants sit vis-a-vis everybody else in the domain name industry. There are now also many different TLDs, which you know, in which domain names can be registered. Again, I have a go to this list you see here to visit the list of all TLDs available for you to register. Next slide, please. So one of the biggest mistakes, and I think it's a mistake I remember making the first domain name I registered, just because you registered a domain name, this does not mean that you have a website yet or a URL yet. While some people assume that the registration of a domain name simply automatically means you have a website, what they don't understand is that a domain name is like a street address for getting your postal mail. There must still be a building or a post office box at the street address for delivering letters or packages, if that makes sense. You still must purchase, find, or implement services like web hosting or email to make your internet presence known and make your domain name functional and accessible to others. Great, I see that someone, Raymond in the chat, has some domains. So please share your experience in the chat. Next slide, please. So now that we've gone over the process for registering domain names, I wanted to build on, I think, something that it was Patrick who spoke a bit about the domain name industry and Adam as well, but through a lens of the registrant and not the general end user. So who are the actors that you need to know about as a domain name registrant, as a domain name holder? So that's what I'll be going over here in the next couple of slides. Next slide, please, Brenda. So through this process that we just talked about of registering for a domain name, you may have had exposure to some of the players in the domain name industry, the registrars, registries that I mentioned. Understanding the roles of these and other players within the domain name industry may help you be more informed and knowledgeable about management of the domain names. The domain name ecosystem includes organizations, businesses, and individuals involved in the provision, support, and registration of domain names and related services. When you registered your domain name, you might have come across one or more of the following entities. And again, I apologize if we are repeating some of the information we said before, but let's focus in here on some of the main actors you should know about if you're thinking about or are already a registrant. The registrars, again, are companies that you can contact to register domain names. ICANN accredited registrars specifically have agreements with ICANN and registry operators to offer domain name registration services. Many registrars also offer other services such as web hosting, privacy proxy, and website builders. Not all, but some. There are over 1,000 ICANN accredited registrars throughout the world that can provide support in local languages. Also something that's important, I think. A list of ICANN accredited registrars, again, can be found on ICANN.org. Resellers. Some of you might have registered your domain name through a reseller, or companies affiliated with or are under contract with registrars to register domain names and offer other services provided by the registrars, such as web hosting. Resellers are bound by their agreements with the registrars and are not accredited by ICANN. The registrars remain the responsible and accountable party for all domain name registrations made by their resellers. So again, important if you are dealing with the registrar, it's important to understand who they are contracted with in terms of their registrar. Next slide, please. Thank you. DNS hosts are companies that manage your domain's configuration, also known as DNS resource records. These configurations point your domain name to your website and email. Many registrars include DNS hosting service with domain name registrations. Some, but not all. Again, that's why it's important to understand the customer service, what you are registering, and what other services accompany this registration. Web hosting companies provide server storage space and an IP address, again, recalling what we learned in the previous webinars, for your website. With an IP address, your website can then be accessed from a web browser. Privacy and proxy service providers enable the registration of a domain name without displaying your contact information in the registration data directory service. Privacy and proxy services are frequently offered by the registrar during the registration process, but may also be obtained from a third-party service provider. ICANN.org is currently implementing an accreditation program for privacy and proxy service providers pursuant to policy recommendations developed through the multi-stakeholder policy development process. So, separate issue, but there's a current review going on of who can become a privacy and proxy service provider. Registries are organizations that are responsible for maintaining the records of domain names registered under each TLD, top level domain. They also set the rules for registration under their TLDs. The responsibilities of the registries include accepting domain name registration requests from registrars, maintaining a database of all the necessary registration data associated with domain names, and providing name servers to publish the zone file data throughout the internet. Registry operators have agreements with ICANN to operate generic TLDs. A list of all these TLDs and their respective registry operators can be found, again, online. I think I will pause because I see some questions. What I will say here is that if we cannot answer your question right now in real time, then we will get back to them later. We will try to get to every question. So let me pause. Joanna, do you want to read out some of the questions, or I don't know if Patrick or Adam can cover them if anybody wants to ask their question out loud. It seems all registrars are similar. How to find the best one? What problems may arise if I register domains with resellers? Again, good questions. This is why our general advice, we don't offer advice on who's the best or worst in terms of the registrars themselves. What we do advise is that you research and understand the terms and conditions of your registration agreement with them so that you feel good about the research that you did and your relationship with them before entering into a contract. Registrants expected to be, no, registrants are not accredited by ICANN. Registrars and registries are accredited by ICANN. Many of them are, but not all of them. If a registrar disappears, what the registrant can do to save his domain? What ICANN can do in such a case? That is a good question. Okay, thanks. Adam, did you say you would take that or Patrick? Or... Oh, Patrick is answering in the chat. Okay.
Brian, if it helps, I could just elaborate a little bit about this. So
thank you.
Oftentimes, registrars may combine their packages that they offer to registrants to include things like domain name registration with a hosting package or with a search automation function, or they may provide tools to help registrants build websites or make it easier to get their website online and available to a wide audience. So it depends on what your needs are as a registrant for what tools you need. If you're a business or a not-for-profit entity, you may already have a hosting provider, or you may already have the website built. You just need the domain name in order to connect the content that you've already developed out so people can see it. But for other registrants, they might need the full set of things to help put their presence online. And it really depends on what your needs are. And as far as the next question about, you know, who sets the prices, you know, that depends, one, on what the top level domain space that you're registering in. The prices are set by the registries, but they also might be subject to local law. Local requirements for a country code operator might be different depending on the jurisdiction you're in. So a lot of those issues are outside of the realm of what ICANN is involved in, but we do try to make the information available so that registrants and individuals and others are more informed about the process. And Brian, I will turn it back to you.
Thank you so much, Patrick, for jumping in there. Thank you again for the good questions. I think we're gonna take them all down and see if we can build on answers in later sessions or in other ways, but we appreciate the questions. I will move on to the next slide, please, here, Brenda. So registrant rights and responsibilities. This is one of the most important parts of our presentations usually as a registrant program, because many domain name holders, many in the ICANN ecosystem don't know or don't realize that registrants do and indeed have rights and responsibilities in the RAA. So next slide, please. So they are written into the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, the RAA, which is the contract between all ICANN accredited registrars and ICANN. So registrants are the customers of the registrars, and to become an ICANN accredited registrar, the registrars need to acknowledge that their customers have rights and responsibilities. Your rights, if you are a registrant, include access to information from your registrar regarding processes for registering, managing, transferring, renewing, and restoring your domain name registration. So you are entitled, once you register a domain name, to lots of information about how to manage your domain names from your registrar, and they need to give that information to you. Next slide. Please, Brenda. Thank you. Thank you. So we have the rights right here, and I'll just go through them quickly. You have the right for information about your domain name registration, and any privacy proxy services you may use in conjunction with it must be subject to a registration agreement with an ICANN accredited registrar. Yes, you are entitled to review this registration agreement at any time. So if you forget what you agreed to in your agreement, in your registration agreement at the time of registration, you're entitled to review it at any time and can download a copy for your records from your registrar. You are entitled to accurate and accessible information about the identity of your ICANN accredited registrar, the identity of any privacy proxy service provider, your registrar's terms and conditions. Again, important. If they are not clearly stated on the website, you need to, you are right, it's your right to have access to them, including pricing information applicable to domain name registrations, the terms and conditions of your registration, including, again, pricing information applicable to any privacy services, the customer support services, very important, offered by your registrar and the privacy services provider, and how to access them. Thank you, Patrick, for continuing to answer questions in the chat. I will move on to the next slide here to cover registrant rights and responsibilities. Thank you. How to raise concerns and resolve disputes with your registrar. Instructions that explain your registrar's processes for registering, managing, transferring, renewing, and restoring your domain name registrations. Again, very important instructions that should be straightforward. Finally, you shall not be subject to false advertising or deceptive practices by your registrar or through any proxy or privacy services made available by your registrar. This includes deceptive notices, hidden fees, aren't those the worst, and any practices that are illegal under the consumer protection law of your residence. Next slide. On to responsibilities. So yes, you have rights, but you also have responsibilities. And something that I always say is to registrants or people considering becoming domain name holders, registrants, is to understand that yes, you have the right to access all this information that's pertinent to managing your domain name responsibly, but you also have responsibilities to be an active and engaged domain name holder. You need to play your part as well. So you must comply with the terms and conditions, of course, posted by your registrar, including applicable policies from your registrar, the registry, and ICANN. You must review your registrar's current registration agreement along with any updates. Make sure you keep up to date. You will assume sole responsibility for the registration and use of your domain name. You must provide accurate information, contact information for publication. If that depends on where you sit, but some of your information may be publicly available. You must respond to inquiries from your registrar within 15 days and keep your registrar account data current. Next slide, please. So that's it for registrant rights and responsibilities. Again, this information is all available on ICANN.org. So please go ahead there and review it. Next here, so now that we've talked about the domain name industry, the DNS ecosystem, some tips and guidelines when you are considering registering domain names, what your rights and responsibilities are once you have a domain name, once you have registered a domain name. Here is some basic guidelines and important tips for managing these domain names once you have them and maintaining them. Next slide, please. Okay, so some best practices. I will go through these, and I think maybe this would be a good chance. If you are a registrant and you're in the chat room here, you can also speak up on the microphone, but if there are other best practices that you have as experienced registrants, please share them with colleagues. Keep your information associated with your domain name registration up to date at all times. So if you move, just like if you move residences and you need to contact the post office and say, I moved, I want my letter sent here. You need to receive important notifications about your domain name. It's a real asset, your domain name, once you have it, and you don't want to, you want to make sure you can be contacted at all times. Know the terms of your registration agreement, of your domain name registration. So the options and fees for renewing domain names, including expired domain names, vary by registrar. So each one can have different terms and conditions. So be sure to read your registrar's terms of service carefully to understand the options, fees, and terms of renewing your registration. Remember, paying to register for a domain name is not the same as buying it outright or permanently. You do not own a domain name. This is, again, a common misconception. You do not own it, you are registering it. What you are doing is more like leasing the domain name from the registry operator that the domain name is associated with. Registration periods can vary depending on the registry operator. You cannot buy a domain name forever. However, you can continually renew its registration before the registration period expires to maintain control over the registration. While the term buying a domain name is also commonly used in relation to purchasing an existing domain name registered to someone else, the purchaser is not buying that name, but just acquiring the rights to register it to themselves and continue to manage and re-register it in the future. So I hope that's helpful. Can I pause and maybe see if Patrick or Adam, do you have any questions that have come in or that you've answered that you want to reiterate or speak to out loud? Give you a second. If not, I will continue.
Hi, Brian. There's a question there from one of the ICANN 70 fellows. What provisions are there for registrants who may register an existing domain name or something similar to what already exists? On existing domain names, you can't double up on a registration. So if I own adam.com, you can't also register it. So it's a unique identifier, as we've mentioned in the earlier webinars. So it's a single registration there. Something similar, similarity doesn't really matter in the second level. Brian, you can probably talk a little bit more about this, but there are people who may try to register a trademark, which is a slight misspelling, and that gets into issues around rights protection mechanisms, which Brian will cover in a later webinar. And it's one of the issues, as was sort of mentioned last week, about cyber squatting, where people are trying to use a name to essentially represent another person or another entity in some sort of way. But I think Brian will come to this in more detail in probably the next webinar when we talk about rights protection mechanisms. So thank you very much for the question. It's always really nice to see fellows here. So thanks for joining.
Yes, of course. Thank you for your questions. And we will cover some of that in later webinars. And I might, we might invite specialists, subject matter experts to speak to these issues associated with IP infringement and whatnot. But yes, what Adam said, you cannot register a duplicate, you know, domain name once the name is registered. And there are rules against registering trademarked domain names and using them maliciously. However, there are ways, you know, to register similar sounding domain names if you use them in good faith, of course. But we'll get into that later if this is a topic of interest to this group. Yes, looking forward to hearing more about cyber squatting. Okay, well, that's noted. Next slide, please. So again, we want to emphasize the importance of keeping your contact information associated with your domain name registration up to date for a few different reasons. you want to be able to receive important notifications about your domain name from your registrar. So is it up for renewal? You should be getting a notification well in advance of that, so you know to register it so it doesn't expire. Usually, and these are sent via email, you can usually choose how you want to be notified and if your email is not updated. So not only do you want to update your where you're living and your house address, but it's your email address if that changes, or if the person who is keeping track of your domain name registration, if that person changes, say you have a company and this person who is keeping track of your registration goes to another job, he takes his email with him, you should contact your registrar and say, no, send information to this new email, whoever that is, whoever's keeping track of that. So your registrar may notify you of changes to your account and domain name registrations that you can, and you need to confirm those changes. If your email information is not up to date, unauthorized changes could be made to your account without your knowledge. So again, be very careful and keep a close eye on the your contact information. Next slide, please. So about renewals, when you register a domain name, you're able to use it for the period of time you registered it for, which is typically between 1 and 10 years. Again, this registration period varies depending on your registration type and your registration agreement and your registrar. If you want to keep using the domain name and any of the services associated with it, like your website or email services that are oftentimes vital to your small business, et cetera, to your nonprofit, you need to renew the domain name registration prior to its expiration. And this seems self-explanatory, but we always emphasize this. It happens all the time. People forget to renew their registrations. If you don't, you risk losing your domain name. ICANN does not have the authority to transfer domain names, including expired ones, back to you. So very important to stay on top of this. How do you avoid losing your domain name and causing significant disruption or damage to the information, services, brand, or business associated with it? Here are a few pointers to help you avoid the hassle of disruptions or the possibility of losing your domain name altogether. So here are a few more important tips to note. Next slide. Okay. Again, we are repeating ourselves, but it's because it's important. The most important thing you can do to protect your domain name is to know the terms of your registration agreement. Options and fees for renewing domain names, including expired ones, vary by registrar, so be sure to read your registrar's terms of service carefully to understand the options, fees, and terms of renewing your registration. It's also important to keep your contact information up to date, as we said before, so that you get all of these notifications and information before it's too late. We recommend marking your calendar, just like you might mark your calendar to pay the rent or to get the milk for the family. Keep track of your domain name expiration date so you can renew it before it expires. Contact your registrar if you are unsure of the expiration date of your domain name. So know when that date is, renew it well ahead of time. Oh, S. Joan had a bad experience. So, you know, she listened to Joan. Losing a domain name can create a huge headache. Consider the auto renew option, okay? So there's some registrars may offer an auto renew option. And this means if you sign up for this service, be sure to keep payment information up to date. And sometimes you can be auto renewed if your payment information is up to date and you have selected that service. Keep an eye out for renewal reminders. So there is a policy that requires registrars, this is important, to send you 2 renewal reminders approximately 1 month and 1 week before expiration of a domain name. And we will go into these policies in future webinars that you should pay attention to specifically. So we'll dive a little deeper into this, just like we'll dive a little bit deeper into the UDRP and URS policies that are about IP infringement and cyber squatting and such. But this, there is a policy that requires registrars to send you two reminders approximately 1 month and 1 week before expiration of a domain name. Look out for these reminders. Take immediate action if you have not renewed your domain name already before you get these reminders. If you want to keep your registration, take action, contact your registrar and renew your domain name. Be sure to keep contact information up to date again. So you've received the information, you get out well ahead of the domain name expiration and keep your registration renewed so you can continue your business. Next slide, please. A little bit more on renewals. Oh, I see a hand from Joan. I'm happy to take Joan's question and I'll pause here. Joan?
Hi, thank you, Brian. Thanks, everyone. I just wanted to point out that this, when I lost my domain name, it was years ago. And it was, and I think that MPOC actually and NCSG really played a big role in some of the changes, obviously ICANN as well, because it was the registrant that actually stole the name. And it was in 2004. It's 2005 and they would not renew it. And so lost it. And the day after, a new website with the name came up. So I think a lot of things have changed. And I think those were positive changes to protect people, domain name holders. So I just wanted to point that out.
Hi, it's Adam. If I can just jump in there, something I put in the chat, and this can be very relevant to NGOs and others who start a project, and of course, if you have a website to provide details of it, the project might be 1 or 2 years, but remember that if you don't keep your domain name registration up, somebody else might get that domain name when that name lapses, when you don't register, and the content will change entirely or may change entirely. So your project about some activity you're working on could be represented by a completely different type of content. And very often, because a website that's been used for a project will have traffic going to it, people will actually take that available domain when it becomes available and put probably some unattractive content, perhaps some adult material on there, because they'll be getting click-throughs because your old project will be registered in various, you know, search engines and so on. So do be careful about keeping the archive. It is a cost, but it's quite a low cost to maintain records of the work that you and perhaps your colleagues have done previously. I've had this experience, so I'm aware of it. Thank you.
Thanks for this exchange, and thank you for sharing that, Joan. And it's a real life example of things that can happen if you are not paying attention. It's just understanding the terms, conditions when you enter into when you first get your domain name, when you're thinking about that kind of stuff. Understand who you're dealing with, how to contact your registrar, how long your registration is for, and be very careful and stay on top of it to make sure you renew it and be an active domain name manager. So continuing on to renewals of domain names, once I register a domain name, how long does it last? Can it be renewed? Again, you're able to use it for the period of time you registered it for, which is typically between 1 and 10 years. If you want to keep using the domain name and any of the services associated with it, you need to renew the domain name registration prior to its expiration. Yes. What are my terms and options for renewing my domain name? Options and fees for your renewal, including expired ones, vary by registrar. So be sure to read your registrar's terms of service carefully to understand the options, fees, and terms of renewing your registration. And how do you renew it? If you need help renewing your domain name, contact the registrar who you registered your domain name with. If you're not sure again who your registrar you use, sometimes it might've been a long time ago, do your search online and you can find out who that registrar was. Next slide, please. And okay, that brings me to the end of this portion of the presentation. I think our timing is pretty good. I think we have about 5-6 more minutes. So I invite any questions from the group here to be asked aloud, again, to me or to Patrick or to Adam or to your colleagues here participating. We have taken note of some of the questions we haven't addressed directly in the chat, and we will try and get to those questions at later time or dig a little bit deeper into answering them for you. I think we can also be in touch with leadership to parse out some of the questions that keep coming up and understand what are the issues you might want to dive a little bit deeper into in upcoming webinars. And maybe there's some information we can share through your lists that cover these topics as well in writing. So any questions? If not, I will pass it back to Joanna for any closing remarks, or to Patrick or Adam if you have anything to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. This was a great session. I think we had many questions on the group. Thank you for those attending for the questions. I don't see any more questions in the chat. I also see some answers from Patrick and from Joan. I think personally this was a great session. If there's no more remark, no more question, no more information from the attendees, I think we can close today's session. As a reminder, the next one will take place next Wednesday at the same hour, the same link. You can find information about all the webinars in this series on the link that Adam posted earlier in the chat, and we will post it again now so that you have it all. Meanwhile, until the next meeting, if you have any questions, you read something that you find interesting, feel free to prepare questions and to ask them next time. Yes, Adam, thank you for posting the link. The link is now in the chat. Without further ado, thank you everyone for this session, for my colleagues from NPOC, for my colleagues from ICANN, for being here, for preparing this session. Thank you, Brian, for the presentation, and have an excellent day and an excellent week, everyone. And see you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.